Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
What these players are doing for, you know, guaranteed money, what is the incentive to practice? What is the incentive to go out there and earn it in the dirt? You're just getting paid a lot of money up front and playing a few events and playing 54 holes.
Tiger Woods on the LIV Golf Tour, obviously not a fan of LIV, although Donald Trump, who is under some duress these days, with that January 6th congressional hearing going on, Donald Trump apparently has a lot of time for LIV, and he's got two LIV tournaments coming up on golf courses Donald Trump owns, plus he's urging PGA Tour players to defect to the LIV Tour, saying essentially get the money while it's there for you. And LIV is sponsored and funded by Saudi Arabia. And here's how the story starts to develop. All of the 9/11 hijackers were Saudi, of course. And there's a group of family members of victims of 9/11 called 9/11 Justice Group. They are calling on Donald Trump to cancel the LIV tournaments on his properties. They write in part, "It is difficult for us to fully express the extreme pain, frustration, and anger this upcoming tournament, the first one, at Bedminster is causing our community. It is incomprehensible to us that a former president of the United States would cast our loved ones aside for personal financial gain." That's from families of 9/11 victims. All right, let's talk about this. Maureen Baznicki joins us. Ms. Baznicki lost her husband, Ken, at the World Trade Center on 9/11. She's actively engaged in representing families of victims of terrorism and initiated the National Day of Service each September the 11th across this country. How are you, Maureen?
Other than having a terrible summer cold, I'm okay, Roy. Thank you.
Well, I hope you get over that. Whenever people get a cold these days, it's, but colds still exist.
Yes, and I tested negatively for COVID, so.
Good.
That's the good news.
Yeah. What do you make of, how do you respond? What's your reaction to the former president of the United States allowing two of his golf courses to be used for LIV tournaments, and the 9/11 Justice Committee says, wait a minute, this tournament, this series, is sponsored and paid for by the Saudis, and it's an extreme insult to the families of 9/11 victims. Well, how do you respond to this?
I think it's a very good example of sports washing. And that was a new word in my vocabulary. I don't know that it's been around very long. But it seems that the LIV tournament has nothing to do with sports and everything to do with Saudi Arabia trying to wash away its terrible reputation. I agree with the families. I think it's blood money, and those who have opposed LIV are indeed the players who are showing that they value accountability, truth, and justice. There's a court case that's trying to proceed in the U.S., suing Saudi Arabia, as a matter of fact, and Trump himself has assigned blame to the Saudi government for the 9/11 attacks. So how is it that he can turn around and try to financially prosper from a sport that you love, Roy, that I love, that all of us love, but it comes down to how much money does it take when you don't care about murder or human rights.
Yeah, I wonder, Maureen, after reading the quote from the 9/11 Justice Committee and their deep concerns, and expressed very well, I thought, do the families of 9/11 victims, do you still have the ear of politicians and governments, or is it just some governments? How attentive are governments, including our own, to the objectives and the needs of 9/11 families?
Oh, thank you for asking that question, Roy. Of course, it varies on the country. And in my case, I'm a cross-border victim, and I concentrate my efforts in Canada because it was my Canadian husband, Ken, that was killed that day. Currently, victims are very, very frustrated. I certainly am in Canada, and with our current government, they have not engaged me at all since taking power, and have not recognized my concerns about victims of terrorism. In the States, you have President Biden, who just recently went to Saudi Arabia for the purposes of gas, I imagine, the Saudi oils, you know, with the pandemic and with the war in Ukraine, the need for oil is greater than ever. But these are all issues that take away from the factors that contributed to terrorism and our justice and our accountability. And no, governments aren't listening, and victims feel that they were victimized by horrific crimes, but they continue to be victimized by politics and by governments of the day.
What I know about you and what I know about some of the other family members of people who died at the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001, is that you are very committed to standing with other victims of terrorism and victims of crime, and you've really made that a mission, and you've done this consistently and insistently. But again, I just found, I'm just thinking, there seems to be a diminishing response from governments. And I'm just thinking also of your National Day of Service, which you have been promoting for some years, Maureen, on September the 11th. You've had buy-in from the Ford government in Ontario, far more so than you've had from the federal government.
Yes, thankfully I have. You know, under the Harper government, on the 10th anniversary of September the 11th, a National Day of Service was legislated through the Senate at that time, and with tremendous help from a few senators, Senator Pamela Wallin being one of them. But it would seem that our current Prime Minister Trudeau doesn't like to get excited about Harper Initiative days, and in fact, he's had his own days. I think of National Day of Reconciliation to be for Indigenous people to be a perfect example. These days are just, you know, days on the calendar that that he tends to not really mark in an appropriate way. He does make a statement, but that's it. He did call an election on September the 11th.
Yes, I remember that.
Fast forward to the Ford government. MPP Lauren Cole recognized at the 20th anniversary of 9/11 last year that perhaps Canada could do more to recognize what was indeed a global event. There's only a few events that have affected the globe. Most recently, 9/11, the pandemic, and now the war in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
We can never forget what happened on that day, but I was determined to have my own country, Canada, remember it. And why? Because just post 9/11, former Prime Minister Chrétien, he commented when there was an outcry to have a memorial, that these things happen from time to time, and I see no reason to mark that occasion.
I remember him saying that.
Yes. And then, you know, Roy, I was a flight attendant to visually see the airplanes going into the buildings. just did not sit well with me. I'd like to get rid of that image. Mm-hmm. I also wanted our youth to grow up learning about the events of 9/11, but turn it around so that they can celebrate the Canadian reaction and recognize that 9/11 was an attack on our values. That's the most important thing, our democracy, our values. And, you know, our students have to do so many hours of community service, so how wonderful it is to recognize service to your country and recognize service to your community and have our students learn about the events and be proud of the Canadian reaction.
Yeah, absolutely so. And for young people to become engaged with their country, with their society, and try to build positively forward. That's what the National Day of Service is about. I remember the first one. We talked about it on the air then. Maureen, there's so much going on, so many moving parts here, and you've constantly been trying to improve the reality for victims of mass terror and victims of serious crime, and that's where the focus has to be. But let me just ask you this. When you see certain developments happen in the world, like the Taliban reassuming control of Afghanistan, which is it was the training ground for these terrorists for 9/11. When you see these things taking place, where Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who was caught in Pakistan in 2003, I believe he's still on trial, is he not? Is he still on trial, Maureen? Hey, Maureen?
Yes, he is.
So he's still on trial. So he was caught in 2003, and the Taliban have taken over Afghanistan again. How does all of this impact you?
Oh, it's very frustrating, and you talk about justice, that elusive word for victims of terrorism, for most victims of terrorism, but certainly the 9/11 families, their event happened more than 20 years ago, and we're still waiting for justice. A lot of terror victims, sadly, because the perpetrators are dead, don't see the necessary justice for their healing process, and it's a horrible feeling. You want accountability, you want justice, you don't want this to ever happen again, so you do everything possible to prevent it. We share the same goals as many victims of violent crime, but it is different from traditional crime, and we talk about rights. And I always try to bring it back home to my own country because, after all, I'm a proud Canadian. And rather than just criticizing other countries, I want to look in my own backyard and make it better here. And currently, I have no rights as a victim of terrorism in Canada. The Victims' Bill of Rights, which was part of the driving force behind that, doesn't include cross-border victims. So perpetrators or terrorists can commit their crime outside the country, and they have rights. And I'd like to bring up that that terrorist by the name of, or self-confessed terrorist by the name of Omar Khadr, his rights are violated. And he got a $10.5 million award. That's fine. Victims don't want to take, well, it isn't fine, but nevertheless, victims don't want to take away rights from anybody. They don't want to take rights away from the accused, but they themselves want rights. Bring back the balance. We don't have even an ombudsman in Canada, a federal ombudsman for victims of crime. It's been over 9 months now since Heidi Illingworth departed. She filled the role after almost a year that it was left vacant. So there's nobody to represent victims, and especially victims of national crimes, and I'm talking about not just terrorism, but the Nova Scotia massacre,
yes,
for instance.
Yes.
You know, before that, the van attack, the Danforth shooting. We don't have a national office that will deal with victims at this level, and we should. because provinces are not equipped to deal with this.
No, this should have been a priority for the federal government. Absolutely. Now, so what will happen then in New York is September 8 and 9 of this year at the UN Global Congress of Victims of Terrorism? Is there actually concrete action going to come out of this?
Well, I hope so. We all know how that it takes the UN a very long time. I'm optimistic. They are trying to advance the rights and needs of victims of terrorism. And they claim, and I agree, that terrorism remains a significant threat to international peace and security. And that the society has to recognize that these cause lasting trauma and damage to the families involved, as well as the local communities and society as a whole.
Yeah.
So it's not a subject matter that's going away. There's more emphasis on mass shootings right now, but a lot of them are connected.
Right.
You know, yeah.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.